Good morning. God bless you, one and all, on this wonderful day. We've had some difficult things to consider over the last number of weeks as a church, and in particular, Stu and Mary and the boys have had a lot of things to consider and think about and pray about. But I would encourage everybody that God is in charge of the ship. God is the pilot of this ship, and we need not be afraid what may happen, although we are in somewhat of a storm. And I encourage everybody this week in particular to pray for Stu while he's at GAFCON in Israel. Pray that he has a wonderful time, that he feels rested, that he feels a sense of peace and joy. And also pray for Mary, Sam, Peter and Michael, that God would be with them while their dad's away in a very special way. And Bruno as well is part of the family at the moment. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and as we come to hear the word of God, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you indeed reign in the heavens, that we need not be concerned for what will happen tomorrow or the next day or the next. And Lord, we thank you that you care for us. You even care for the small bird, the small sparrows. How much more you care for us in every one of our needs. And we just thank you, Lord, that as we open the bread of life this morning, that we may leave this place encouraged and lifted up in you, exercised in the inner person, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The subject of the sermon this morning is exercise, good for the spirit, soul, and body. One small item was left off the sermon theme quite deliberately in the newsletter. That was the subject should have had a question mark behind it. In other words, the question we might ask this morning is this: is exercise good for the spirit? Is exercise good for the soul? And is exercise indeed good for the body? Now let's examine these questions more closely this morning. We just heard from Tinashe in 1 Timothy 4, 1-8, that the Spirit clearly says in latter times that some will abandon the faith. Turn to your neighbour and say, these are the latter times. These are the latter times. Now turn to the neighbour on the other side and say, these are the latter times. Amen. We're not talking about sometime in the future. We're talking about now. Some abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I praise God that that's not happening in this church. Amen. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with an iron. They don't allow people to marry when they should. Perhaps they allow people to marry when they shouldn't. Think upon this. They cause people to abstain from certain foods. We know there are denominations that do that. The Bible says that all things are good to be eaten if received with thanksgiving. Amen. Except for things strangled and blood. We know that. Everything God created, the Bible says, is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated with the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truths of the faith and of good teaching that you have followed. These are words that were given to Timothy, but they're not really only for Timothy, they're for all of us. And the word brother and sister here refers to believers, both men and women, as part of God's family. Hebrew word was, or the Greek word, sorry, was adelphoi, which simply means believers. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. Physical training is of some value. But godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. In the King James it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But it is of some value. It is of some. So is exercise good for the body? With exercise, we honour God. Wow. Some of us didn't expect that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. So what does that mean? Does that mean we sit in front of the television? Which I enjoy, by the way, I might add. I enjoy sitting in front of the television. But does it mean that we sit in front of the television all day, every day as a couch potato, getting fat physically? The Bible tells us that we need to eat and drink to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. So when you eat a pie, or when you eat a cake or your ice cream, do it to the glory of God. What? How can you eat a pie or ice cream to the glory of God? The Bible tells us we have to do all to the glory of God. Not just some things, but all things. There is a need for self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians 9, it says, verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? I used to be a runner. I was a long-distance runner. Not in the Olympics, but in the military. And there were very few soldiers that could beat me in those days. Now I kind of shuffle, you know, when I run. But the thing is, I was a runner, and you run to get the prize. In the army, you don't really get prizes, but you get the pat on the back and the congratulations and so forth. So everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. I used to go out running at 4 o'clock in the morning. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Now, my crown in the military was simply a praise from my commanding officer or my OC, officer in charge. But that's a crown that doesn't last either. I'm sure that they don't even remember my name. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, Paul said. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make my body my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So we need to bring our bodies in a subjection to not only to God, but to ourselves. We need to be in charge of our bodies in every area. Don't overeat. Nothing wrong with eating, but don't overeat. In Proverbs, quite a humorous scripture, in the New International Version it says, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. The New Living Translation says, if you're a big eater, put a knife to your throat. And the New American Standard says, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite. Okay. There are some benefits of a healthy body. Number one, longer life. We know that. We know studies have been completed which show that if you exercise, you will live a longer life. Like Paul's aunt at 105. Secondly, bodily exercise is a positive example to your children. It's a positive example to your children. Now, I don't go to the gym anymore, but I do try and walk enough and go up and down stairs and walk and so forth to be a positive example to my children. I'm 63. I have very young children. And at the age of 40, I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis. And at the age of 58, I was diagnosed with osteoporosis. At the age of 63, I was diagnosed with diabetes. Now, it doesn't look it, does it? Hey? Praise the Lord. So I have had to make a life change at different times to make sure that my body is in a correct state for my age, or even better. The osteoarthritis were in my hands, in my knees, in my hips, and I have no pain at all now because I look after my body by taking glucosamine sulfate and fish oil every day. And some people will preach against that sort of thing, but I've been taking it for 23 years and I have no trouble with osteoarthritis. Do I still have it? Yeah, I still got it, but it's not troubling me. You know, I can bend my knees and move my hips and move my hands without any problem at all. And it was through a standard blood test that I discovered very recently, a couple of months, 3 months ago perhaps, that I had type 2 diabetes, which I would never have expected being as slim and as handsome as I am. Amen. You know, but it creeps up on you. It creeps up on you. And then, bang, suddenly you've got it. Now, why is that? What was I doing that caused me to have diabetes? Well, and I now have to stick a needle in me 4 times a day. However, what happened with me was I thoroughly enjoyed, and there's nothing wrong with having licorice, but as my wife will tell you, I stopped a couple of years ago, sit there with a bucket of licorice and eat licorice like they were twisties or potato chips in front of the TV. And then ultimately, because of my sweet tooth, and by the way, I never eat cake. I hardly ever have cake. Those who are in my home group know that. But due to my sweet tooth for lollies, in particular Dutch licorice, I paid the penalty. But now I'm no longer doing that, and I'm being careful. I'm staying between the 4 to 8 range. My brother was diagnosed a couple of months before me, and he's doing absolutely nothing. Well, I hate to say this, but by not correcting the situation body-wise, he may end up losing his legs, or his kidneys, or his eyes. So it's important to look after your body. The third thing is we need to be physically healthy to serve the Lord. Now, I plan to live to 110. I've got young children. I need to live to 110. The fourth thing is it stops high blood pressure in its tracks. If you exercise, high blood pressure is something that can be stopped. It keeps your joints mobile, as I said. And number six, hopefully you stay handsome, you men, and you women, you stay beautiful for your spouses. Amen? And for your children as well. And the seventh, which I already covered really, it stops diabetes if combined with good eating. Diabetes is very, very easy to stop. Very easy to stop. I spent some time during the week, this last week, doing a full day course on diabetes, and it is so simple to stop. If you've been told you're pre-diabetic, you need to do a course like that and find out how you stop yourself from crossing the line. Remember, bodily exercise profits little, the Bible says, but it profits something. Amen? It does profit something. Exercise, good for the soul. Proverbs 3, chapter 1 to 8, and I'm just going to read a couple of those scriptures. The wisdom of the mind, bestows well-being. The writer said, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Keep the commands of God in your heart, which in this case is in your mind, and they'll prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So by getting your mind right with in line with the Word of God, that will help your body also. But in particular, it helps your mind and makes you a little wiser than you were. How about that? Not only do you receive a wise mind, but you receive calls, you receive health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Those who suffer from arthritis, osteoporosis, other disease of the bones and joints can claim this scripture and bring back health where it is most needed. Don't work on the negative or be twisted in your mind with bitterness against those who have perhaps hurt you a little bit in the past. The Bible tells us that the root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become afflicted. You know that saying, she's bitter and twisted, he's bitter and twisted. You know, sometimes people who, and this is not always the case, and usually not, but there are times where people are twisted up in their body with different diseases because of the bitterness of their heart. We need to meditate, memorize the Word of God, and put it into daily practice. The truth of God's Word. Philippians 4:8 in the New International Version says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of these things." Who's heard of John Bunyan? Put your hand up. Okay. Now keep your hands up for a moment. Keep your hands up. Now, who's heard of Pilgrim's Progress? Then a lot more hands go up. Okay. Paul Bunyan was the writer of the allegory Pilgrim's Progress. He was baptized in they don't know exactly when he was born, but they know when he was baptized through church records, November the 30th, 1628. And he died August the 31st, 1688. He was an English writer and Puritan preacher, best remembered as the author of Pilgrim's Progress, as I said, and also the Holy War, amongst others. He wrote nearly 60 titles, many of them expanded sermons. Now, I was very fortunate that, really blessed actually, in the last couple of weeks, I've had my daughters with me from over the ditch. And one of them's 21, the other, who many of you met last Sunday. The other one is 18. And they came over and were able to spend time with us. One of them actually spent a week with me in Hong Kong with myself and my younger daughter, Yannicka. It was wonderful to see them after many years. And they brought with them the full works of John Bunyan in a book that thick, that big, that wide. Seriously, that thick. And the book was printed in 1874. That particular book. Remember, he was around in the 1600s, but that was printed in 1874. And I was so blessed to be able to get that book back after many years, having been over there. And she carried it in a whole suitcase. That's how heavy it is. You know, it was 7 kilos in weight. One book, 7 kilos. And Bunyan wrote, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day." So what's he encouraging us to do? Spend time with God early in the morning. "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day." This is written over 400 years ago. Is exercise good for the spirit? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 tells us, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." By the way, this set of scriptures is absolutely, apart from the gospel of salvation, my absolute favorite scriptures in the Bible. "Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, that after you've done everything, to stand." In other words, remain standing. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place." Years ago, I preached a whole series of sermons on just that set of scriptures, but time doesn't allow us to do that today. 15, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." That includes nightmares, bad dreams. That includes bad thoughts, things that can easily beset us. That includes negativity. That includes feelings of depression. Put up the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, where we can fight the evil one, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's important for us to pray for one another also. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. John Bunyan. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. These days, of course, we could say prayer will make a man and woman, a person, cease from sin, or sin will entice a person to cease from prayer. He also wrote, John Bunyan, "One leak will sink a ship, And one sin will destroy a sinner. Psalm 84:10 in the King James Version. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper and only stay a day than to dwell in the tents of the wicked and have to stay away. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's from the King James Version. And finally, Philippians 3:13-14. In the New International Version, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And in the scripture, the closing appeal for steadfastness in Christ and unity in Christ, and we had a scripture in our newsletter about that as well, Paul wrote, join in following my example, brothers and sisters, church, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do, he said. For as I have often told you before, now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. This is talking about Christians. It's not talking about unbelievers. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, Paul said, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Amen. We need to exercise our bodies, we need to exercise our minds, and we need to exercise our spirit. Exercise the body physically, exercise the mind by reading God's word, by looking at things that are pure and lovely and of good report, and exercising our spirit through prayer and intercession. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.